All right. Okay. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Fangirl Podcast. It has been a minute because life gets busy and turns out podcasting is pretty time intensive, but I am really happy to be back here today. I have taken a little hiatus from podcasting over the last few months because of work and grad programs and life getting in the way, but we're back today, and I'm very excited to have on a return guest of the show. Today on the show, I have a dear friend of the podcast joining us. She is a two-time guest of the Fangirl Podcast now. She is a huge fan of pop music, podcasts, and vintage shopping. Please welcome back a friend of the pod and the host of the Pessimistic at Best podcast, Sam Georgeson.
Happy to be back. I love the Fangirl Podcast, and I also totally condone taking a podcast break. Sometimes you just got to do it.
Thank you. That was very validating. I'm totally so glad to have you back. Yes. And you're a podcaster too. So like, you know what I mean when I say I was on hiatus, had to take a little break, like you get it. You know what it's like.
I do. I've taken many breaks, and it definitely just also helps the creative juices. Cause then when you're ready to get back into it, you're like fully committed. So
yes, 100%. So I feel really good to be here today. I feel like I've been looking forward to this all week. I feel like work has been kind of boring for me the last couple of days. So I'm like, all right, I'm getting back into my creative outlet. You know, I'm going to talk about music for an hour. Like, yes. How lucky are we? We get to just be here and talk about one of our passions in life, which is pop music.
Absolutely. No, I've been looking forward to this too. And I'm literally obsessed with Ali and AJ. So I'm very excited to talk about my girls for a solid hour here.
Yes.
So yeah, I'm very much looking forward to it.
All right, let's do it. Let's jump in. So today, everybody on the show, we're going to talk about Ali and AJ, and I'm really excited about this topic because personally, I'm not very familiar with Ali and AJ, so I'm excited to learn more about these amazing sisters who play music and do a lot more than just play music. They write, they produce, they do a ton of stuff, and I'm excited to hear Sam's perspective as well on the band. So before we jump in, I'm going to give you all a little bio about Ali and AJ. They're a pop duo that consists of sisters Allison and Amanda Joy Michalka. I think I said that right. They grew up in Torrance, California. And growing up, they signed a recording contract with Hollywood Records in 2005. They released two albums, Into the Rush and Insomniatic, which were two of their, you know, better known records. One of their songs, potential breakup song, was on the album Insomniatic, which later, actually recently, went viral on TikTok. So we're going to talk a lot more about that song later on in the show. But I think, you know, the start of their career was pretty interesting because they got started as musicians with lots of features on Disney Channel movies and shows. Ali actually had a role in the Disney Channel original movie, Now You See It, which I've never seen. I feel like maybe these girls are a little younger than me and I didn't really grow up with Disney movies a whole lot, but they were really, you know, really popular on the Disney circuit, you know, worked with a lot of different Disney, you know, direct to consumer movies. They were on a lot of soundtracks and they've really had a pretty impressive career for being so young. So that was really the start of their, you know, career as musicians. In 2009, Ali and AJ, I think, were trying to maybe distance themselves a little more from the Disney genre. And they've renamed their band 78 Violets and announced their departure from Hollywood Records that following year. So I think that was a little more of a departure for them from the Disney Channel. Mm-hmm. It seems like they've been trying to kind of distance themselves from Disney, and even with their newer records, much more mature sound, much more mature visuals and images. And we're going to talk a lot more about that during the podcast. But, you know, I think this band is really interesting. I think, you know, the fact that they're sisters and they're, you know, writing music, producing music, singing, playing all these instruments, I think it just showcases their talent in ways that a lot of bands might not do nowadays. So the band's pretty cool. They've released quite a few records now. They actually returned to their original band name, Ali and AJ, in 2015, and they've released a lot of records since then. So I don't know about you, Sam, but I have only recently discovered Ali and AJ. I think because I was not a huge Disney fan growing up, I wasn't really exposed to them. I think my younger siblings are familiar with Ali and AJ, but for me, I grew up in the era of Britney Spears, Destiny's Child, Christina Aguilera, So I guess Allie and AJ was a little more off my radar. But I'd love to hear your personal experience with their music. I'd love to hear, you know, how you discovered this band. Just take it from the top. How did you hear about Allie and AJ, and why do you love them so much?
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, and so I definitely grew up in this Disney era. I remember when they were on some of those Disney Channel original shows and movies. Allie even had like a brief stint in Phil of the Future, which was a Disney Channel show that was pretty popular for a while. And then they did have, they were in Now You See It. I think that was just Allie. That is a classic, a Disney Channel classic. It's a good movie. It's kind of crazy. Disney Channel original movies are so funny looking back on them now because they're like so incredibly low budget for Disney. But yeah, so they kind of had like a little bit of an acting career, and then their songs were featured in those movies as well. So I definitely was familiar with them when I was younger. And then Into the Rush was an album I liked, but I wasn't like obsessed with it by any means. Then when they came out with Insomniatic, potential breakup song blew up. Even then, I mean, it was huge. And it was very much like that angsty teen girl, like, I think they literally call it angry girl music. And so that was kind of the genre that they were going for. And that album was also like a little bit more electronic. It had a lot of that like synthy sound of like pop songs in the early 2000s. And that one did take off. They definitely did really well, but it did recently sort of have a resurgence because of TikTok, which is always hilarious. I mean, now that's happening with like Kate Bush, right? So it's just crazy. Yeah. but I like would say, with the exception of Potential Breakup Song, they had kind of fallen off of my radar. They did actually take a pretty large break from music too. They were like working on music behind the scenes, but I know in the split from Hollywood Records and some things like that, there were like some albums they couldn't put out. And so they wound up like taking a pretty big break. And then they released an album, I believe it was 2017 or 2018. I'll actually pull up my Spotify. That kind of like brought them back on my radar. And it was a good album. Yeah, it was called 10 Years. It was 2018 and it was a good album. There were a couple songs on there that I really liked, but it was almost like an EDM album, which was a little bit different. It was like, I guess, an electronic album. It wasn't super dancey. It was like still kind of low key. And I felt like it had really shown like a change in sound, and that they, you know, they had taken a long break from their career. This was very different from like their super poppy pop music that they had been putting out when they were younger. And so then I like started listening to them again. And then they also had a couple of other releases that I enjoyed, but I wasn't like crazy about. They had We Don't Stop in 2020. The song Church on that album is really good, but I, otherwise this isn't one that I like listen to a ton. And then in 2022 or 2021, they actually released A Touch of the Beat. The full album name is quite a mouthful. It's actually A Touch of the Beat Gets You Up on Your Feet, Gets You Out, and Then Into the Sun, which is also some of the lyrics for one of the songs. And I became obsessed with this album. Like the second I heard it, it was like, it's like definitely more of an indie album. And I loved it so much. It kind of reminded me of like, it has pop elements. It definitely reminded me a little bit of like the Haim sisters, but I don't know. I could not stop listening to this album. My Spotify Wrapped came out back in, I guess, whenever that happens. So January or something, late December. Mm-hmm. And like literally my entire Spotify Wrapped was like dedicated to Allie and AJ. Like all of it. It was just so crazy.
See, that's when you know you're a true fan.
Yes. I think I even got a badge or whatever for like being in their top 1%. So I was like,
really? Wow. That's goals right there. See, I listen to a lot of Taylor Swift and I'm not even in her 1% or badge category. So I'm impressed.
Yeah. And I mean, I wouldn't say that they've made like a full resurgence, right? Like, I don't know. I guess I don't know how big they are right now, because I felt like when Insomniatic came out, they were huge pop stars, but from like the Disney Channel lens. That was also around the time they starred in Cowbells, another Disney Channel original movie, which is a hilarious movie. They actually both star in that one and they play sisters. I think this came out in 2006. And I remember liking that movie as a kid. And I actually recently made James, my partner, sit down and rewatch it with me. Cause I was like, we have to see if this holds up. And the whole premise of the movie is that they're sisters. And you know, they're like rich girls who live on a farm vibes. And one of them is about to have her sweet 16. So, and that's also such a like classy, classic early 2000s, like your sweet 16 birthday party.
Oh my God. MTV had that on lock for a long time.
Exactly. And so it was like this whole thing where Allie, who was older, had already had hers and she was helping her sister get ready for hers. And it's like a, it was like a group joint birthday party. So all of the girls in the friend group were turned 16 that year or something along those lines.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like this hilarious movie about how their dad owns a milk factory and he has to go on vacation, or maybe it was even a work trip. And the girls are supposed to kind of hold down the fort. They like burn the house down. They get into so much trouble. And then Allie has this reckoning where she's like, we have to save the milk business while the dad's gone, because like the other, I want to say it was his business partner, is like completely screwing them over. And she wants to use all of AJ's sweet 16 birthday party money to like help all of the employees, help the business and save it until their dad can come back. And of course, AJ is like, no, you already had your sweet 16. I want mine. And it's like this whole thing. It's very crazy. There are also two very, very half-baked love interests, which I think Disney Channel is just like, we have to throw in cute boys.
Of course, obviously.
Of course. And so AJ falls in love with like a farm guy who's rude to her at first. And then, or no, that's Allie, the older one. And then AJ, she, for some reason, gets this like gorgeous Parisian man. It doesn't quite make sense why he's in this little small town, but I think he was doing study abroad or something along those lines.
It's study abroad and working at the milk factory on the side.
It's so funny. And of course, so there's like tons of singing. So we recently rewatched that. It does not hold up, but it is a good time if you're looking for like a solid B movie to sit and enjoy.
Okay, nice. Heard it here first, folks. Watch this Allie and AJ movie on the Disney Channel. It's about milk. You will love it.
Yes. It's so funny. And so I don't know. They kind of just like came back on my radar when they released this album, and I truly play this album front to back almost every time I listen to it. It's an album that I actually listen to all the way through. And then they went on tour. And so they went on tour and they were actually coming to Madison. Of course I had to scoop up tickets. And they were actually coming to the Majestic, which I would say is like our, I mean, Madison in general, kind of a small city, and it's probably like our second largest venue. So again, like it was unclear to me how big they were at this time, at least when they booked the tour. And I had these tickets for literally over a year. So I got them mid pandemic and I was so excited for the show, convinced a couple friends to come, forced James to come along with me. He actually does really like the album. Nice. But, and they came to Madison, and then it was so funny. It was like almost a year later when the concert was actually scheduled from when I initially bought the tickets, and they had just started their tour. And I think the city that they were in prior was Denver, and one of them got COVID.
Oh no.
And so they had to push the show back. So it wound up being, they only pushed it back about 2 months. Tickets were still good, all of those good things. It did change from a Saturday to a Monday night, which was a little bit of a bummer, but yeah,
a little awkward for a concert, but you know what, you make it work.
We do. And yeah, it wound up actually being on James's birthday weekend, which was also kind of funny, but he had a really good time. And
that's great.
It was so much fun. The Majestic, I have no idea what the capacity size in there, but it was sold out and it was like smushed, like literally so smushed. And it was funny because I could tell there were like a lot of people who probably knew them now from their TikTok era, right? So like it was a little bit of a younger crowd in the audience. And I was kind of hoping that they would play some of their oldies. They did play potential breakup song after the encore, which was expected, but I was hoping they would maybe play Rush or at least some of the old songs. And they didn't play a ton of them. So they definitely were playing to the crowd.
Yeah.
Which I guess makes sense. But yeah, it was just kind of funny the difference in like who was singing along to which songs. But so that's kind of how they got back on my radar. And yeah, I'm like obsessed with them now.
That's so interesting. So there's a few things that you bring up, which I want to talk about. So first of all, I think I am very, you know, I follow music all day, every day. I'm a huge fan of pop music. I've heard of these girls before, but I never knew their music. And now that I've done some research for them, about them for the podcast, I've realized they've been working musicians since 2005. Like they've been working for, you know, a decade at this point or more at this point. And it blows my mind how like they've had such a long career. You know, they've gone from like Disney Channel to releasing their own independent records to now releasing music kind of meant more for their contemporaries and their peers. So they've really had a really incredible career so far. And a part of me is like, how do I not know these girls better? Like, how have they flown under my radar for this long? Why wasn't I aware of them and their immense talents? And then I think, well, you know what? Like they were in that Disney Channel household for a long time. Like I think Disney in general, they kind of find these artists, they groom them, and they hang on to them for as long as they can.
For sure.
And I think that kind of happened to Selena Gomez.
Yep.
Happened to, you know, obviously a lot of like the Mickey Mouse Club era artists like Britney and Christina and all of those artists that kind of that we grew up with. But, you know, I think the Disney Channel, they are very, I guess, like protective of their artists. And it's kind of funny to see like the evolution of artists that are like brought up through Disney. Cause like, you know, for years they were making songs and starring in these movies that were Disney Channel movies, like very kind of like, you know, geared towards younger kids. And now they're making records that we listen to front to back. And,
right.
You know, you were talking about their last record, A Touch of the Beat record. And I look at the track list and a lot of these songs are songs that I've seen on other Spotify playlists, and I absolutely love these songs.
For sure.
Like the song Pretty Places is one of my most played songs of 2020 and 2021. Yeah. And it's funny because I usually when I'm working, I like to listen to music that's like a little more chill, like indie kind of
same
folk music. And Pretty Places is the first track on one of the Spotify morning coffee playlists that I love and listen to all the time.
Oh my God, I love that.
Yeah. So it was funny because, you know, in 2021, I started working from home and I listened to music all day when I'm working. And my Spotify Wrapped was a little messed up because, like, when I looked at my Spotify Wrapped, it was like, oh, all of the songs I listen to while I'm at work. So,
yeah, right.
Which is not a bad thing, but that's kind of how I like rediscovered, you know, the album and the music. And I love this song. So
yes, no. And I can't escape them in my Spotify playlist. Like any, my daily mixes, it doesn't matter which one I listen to, it's going to have an Ellie and AJ song in it. But yeah, no, I think that's cool. I mean, it's one of those things too, where that makes sense to me. Like they definitely, I mean, my Spotify at this point knows that I'm obsessed with them, but they definitely fit a lot of those genres that I feel like we're all listening to nowadays. And it's kind of cool because I do think they have managed to sort of rebrand themselves. Again, thinking back to like coming out of the Disney era is really hard for a lot of stars. I also remember, I mean, I even remember back in when they were still kind of getting their footing, releasing albums, and some other sort of Disney Channel-esque stars were starting to like sing, because Disney just, you know, you can't just do one thing. You're an actor, you're a singer, you're everything for them. Mm-hmm. And so I think it was like Hayden Panettiere or one of those who like had a very short singing career, because mm-hmm. Disney Channel essentially forced her to. And someone was like comparing them. Sorry, Amber Alert.
Oh, no worries.
Literally on my phone. Classic. Fun fact, my mom literally gets those in her hearing aids because they're hooked up to her phone and it scares the shit out of her every time.
Oh my God, I would jump a mile if that were me.
Yeah.
I hear it on my phone and I'm like, oh my God.
Same. But anyways, But yeah, and so I remember they kind of like compared and they were like, yeah, it's much better than the like half-baked singing from you know, Disney Channel stars like Hayden Panettiere. Like, these girls can actually sing, which obviously is a shitty comment to make, but at the same time, I agree, they can sing. Yeah. They're very talented and they've been surrounded by music for a long time. I believe it's the producer, who I think it's their producer is Ali's husband. So when they were touring, he actually comes out and plays the guitar with them a little bit too. So he's like kind of in the band.
Oh, cool.
It was actually really funny. He was the first one to come out on stage. So the whole crowd was like, husband, which was kind of silly, but
yeah.
And they're just like funny now. They kind of like joke about their Disney Channel careers, which I feel like is a common theme amongst Disney Channel grads, alum. But
yeah, I'm thinking another Disney Channel grad just came to mind. It would be probably Hillary Duff, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, she was a Disney kid for a long time. And then she had her, you know, Let the Rain Fall Down record, which, you know, was the Laguna Beach theme song, which I love that song.
Yeah.
But I feel like that was her, like, breakaway from Disney Records. And then she was kind of more of, like, the MTV person. And then, you know, like, you can really see, like, that clear break in her career from Disney to MTV to now she's, like, an Instagram influencer, celebrity, whatever.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think it's funny how like Disney kind of keeps like a vice grip on you for so long.
For sure. And I think it's also so hard to escape the, I mean, we talked a little bit about this on our Miley episode too. Like, it's really hard to escape the stigma that puts on you, especially if you start as a kid, because one, no one's taking you seriously. And two, everyone just sees you as like a little goody two shoes Disney kid, not.
Yeah.
You know,
and Miley Cyrus is another Disney kid, and she's like the perfect example of that.
Yeah. And she completely swung the pendulum in the opposite direction, right? Mm-hmm. And I don't necessarily think these two have done that quite as drastically, but they have definitely carved out their own niche for themselves. And I think that's cool. It was like maybe Vanity Fair or one of those, and they were doing like ASMR on their Instagram, which, I mean, whatever, but ASMR, I don't fully understand, but the interview was funny.
Yeah.
And they were doing like they like brought up cowbells and were like making jokes about it. And they were like, you know, the acting just wasn't that good. And just like, they can laugh at themselves, which is good. And
yeah,
I remember there was also a specific interview. I don't remember for who. And this was a little while ago now, but the interviewer had asked them, or maybe this was on Reddit. It was one of those. Someone had asked them, like, how did you guys meet? And they just thought that was so funny. And they were like, well, we're sisters, so we met at home. And then I think they even turned that into merch. Like, I think they were selling t-shirts with their baby picture on it. That was,
oh my God. I love that. We met at home. I absolutely love that. I love a band that can like joke around and like make fun of themselves and just like, you know, not take themselves so seriously. How'd you guys meet? Funny. In the womb, I guess.
Yeah. Literally. Oh, so funny.
That's so
yeah.
Funny. Oh my
They're
God.
Really cool. But, yeah. And it's interesting too. I mean, cause I'm honestly not sure exactly how old they are. I think they're just a little bit older than I am. And they're both married now, and they're both married to people who are either in the industry or like closely related. I know one of the husbands also has done some like film production and things like that. So they've definitely kept it very entertainment based. And I mean, for, you know, if you have parents who are willing to put you into Disney at that age, that's totally how you grow up. And that's what you're do so.
That's their life. It's their lifestyle. It's entertainment and touring and music and being creative, which sounds like a great lifestyle. Not gonna lie.
Yeah, no, it sounds pretty fun.
Nice. So, so I know that you just saw them in concert and you said it was an amazing show. Do you have any, you know, I'm just curious, like, do you have any stories or anecdotes about how this artist has changed you or inspired you in some way? Was there like one moment where like you heard a song on the radio and like it changed your mindset? Like, how have these artists, you know, inspired you or made you kind of think differently about something in the past?
Definitely. No, I mean, the whole album, you guys have to listen to it. And in my opinion, from start to finish, cause it's really, really good. There are some songs on there that are really sad. I think some of them are a little bit more in reference to, you know, like some of their hard relationships. I think one of the sisters briefly was like having some marital struggles, and there's like some songs in there that are very much about those things. And mm-hmm. I mean, I am not married. However, I, you know, fight with my significant other just like anybody else. And this is like such a cathartic album for me to turn to whenever I'm like going through those things.
Yeah.
But I would also say in general, this is just one of those albums that has totally gotten me through like pandemic. And I mean, it was literally on repeat. So, and it's one of those things where usually when I find an album like this and I listen to it nonstop, I get sick of it, mm-hmm. which I totally do that to myself. But this one, I'm not sick of it yet. And it is consistently in all of my playlists and always like one that I reach for. I think it's been, I mean, I'm sure they're going to be on my Spotify Wrapped again this year because of how much I've been listening. But also, I mentioned earlier that I love vintage shopping, and I actually had a lot of fun picking out an outfit for this concert because I was like, I want something that feels 2000s pop star. And so,
loving this. I love where the story's headed.
And so there's this really, really cool vintage store, like kind of a curated vintage store in Milwaukee called Plume. Mm-hmm. And I discovered it. I actually think I might have found them on Instagram first, and I have a couple of friends who live in Milwaukee, and I actually am from there, so I have a lot of family there as well. So I'm there mm-hmm. quite often. It's pretty close to Madison, about an hour and a half drive. Mm-hmm. So I was going to visit some friends, and I was like, we have to go check out this vintage store. I've been seeing it all over online, and I really want to take a look. Every time I go there, I swear I spend like an entire paycheck. It's just crazy. So I knew that that could be potentially a good place. I've like established relationships now with the owner. I really love all the people who work there. They're amazing. And they're really, really good at finding good thrifted items.
Love that. Okay. So shout out Plume in Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
Yes.
Gotta check it out.
Guys, find yourselves in Milwaukee. I highly recommend. And we went to, this was probably about a month before the original scheduled date. So pre mm-hmm. my learning that they, you know, had COVID and had to reschedule. Mm-hmm. And so I found this perfect shirt that was like classic mid-length sleeve, which I feel like is very much an early 2000s vibe. Mm-hmm. And it was like this little sort of Parisian city. And it had like literal rhinestones on it. So I was like, this is everything that I could possibly need.
And love a rhinestone. Love that so much for, especially for a concert. It's like, why not get dressed up?
A little sparkle.
Oh, fun. Yeah.
So I was super excited. And the original date was August or April. Mm-hmm. And so I was thinking, perfect. This is good for spring. I'll wear it with jeans, maybe a little boot moment. We'll see. Mm-hmm. And then of course the concert got rescheduled. It was actually funny when the concert was rescheduled. I was at work mm-hmm. and I had been blabbing on and on about cowbells. And I think I was literally explaining the plot to the movie mm-hmm. to anyone who would listen to me. And everyone at my work knew that I was obsessed with Ali and AJ. Like I was always talking about them on my Instagram and blah, blah, blah. And of course I posted my Spotify Wrapped because you gotta.
Obviously. If you don't post a Spotify Wrapped, did you even listen to Spotify that year?
Exactly. Exactly. You have to join in the fun. At this point, yeah. It should be like a national holiday. Everyone should get off of work.
Oh, it's my national holiday. It is my like end of year marker. I'm like, oh, Spotify Wrapped is out.
Yes.
It's New Year's.
Exactly. So, yeah, it was actually really funny because I was literally telling anyone who would listen about cowbells and all of the things. And everyone was so excited for me to be able to go to the show because I wouldn't shut up. And then they got mm-hmm. notification that, you know, one of them had COVID, had to reschedule, blah, blah, blah. And mm-hmm. I was like, no. But then they announced that the rescheduled date was going to be June. And I was like, shoot, that could be, we never know what happens in June in Wisconsin. It could be 90 degrees. Like you just never know. So I was like, my outfit is ruined. All of my plans.
Not the rhinestones.
Yes. And then it wound up actually being a very, very gloomy weekend in June. I think James, my partner, it was his birthday weekend. He was a little bit bummed. He wanted to go golfing. However, I was like, this is amazing because I can still wear my Ally and AJ outfit that I've had planned for like 4+ months. So, and I did wear it. And it was actually really funny. One of my best friends, Zoe, who came with me, she was like, your shirt looks exactly like the poster that every girl in an early 2000s movie had hanging in her bedroom. And I was like, that's yes. exactly what I'm going for.
You understood the assignments for this concert. That's amazing. Well, I'm so happy you got to wear the rhinestone outfit to the concert. We definitely need photographic evidence of that. If you have a photo,
I certainly do.
We definitely need to see that. We'll post it on the Instagram because you've told us about this amazing outfit. We need to see this in person, or at least on the internet. We'll find it. That's awesome. And I love that story. Like, for me, like growing up, like concerts was like my absolute favorite thing to do. It still is one of my favorite things to do. And like, I remember being a teenager and like getting so dressed up for like a John Mayer concert or a NSYNC concert or whatever concert it was. And I just had such a blast doing that. And I haven't done that as much over the last few years. I still go to a lot of shows, but I'm always like, oh, I'll just wear, you know, my yoga pants again, whatever.
Right.
Totally. But now I'm, you know, you've inspired me to like get dressed up for the next show. So yes. I'm excited for that. I'm going to find some rhinestones of my own and wear them to my next concert.
I love it. No, you got to, it makes it so fun. And actually part of the reason I feel like I started having a lot of fun with like the clothes that I was going to wear to shows. Mm-hmm. I personally have never been to a Harry Styles show, but I know that they are literally fashion shows for like the attendees.
Yeah.
And it's just crazy. And I was like, if they're having that much fun getting dressed up for a Harry Styles show, we can do that to any show. Why?
Absolutely. 100%. You know, I think over the last 2 years during the pandemic, I have just gotten so accustomed to wearing like the same yoga pants every day.
Oh, totally.
And it's really like
practically in my pajamas right now.
Yeah, same. I'm in a t-shirt. But yeah, you know, I think like I always want to like remember that it's like fun to get dressed up and it's fun to go out and it's fun to like wear a costume or like go to a concert and wear a rhinestone t-shirt. Absolutely. Like, just go all out and just have fun and be creative with that outfit. You know, like it's all, you know, an expression of yourself, an expression of like, you know, what you want for that night. So I'm taking that advice to heart for sure.
I love it. And we'll throw in a pitch for, if you don't want to spend big bucks, I highly recommend thrifting because it's just the best. Secondhand 100%. Items are so much more fun. They're well loved, but that's part of the history and it doesn't break the bank.
I love that. And I feel like, you know, there's probably more rhinestones on vintage clothing than clothing produced today. So that's really where you want to go. If you want the rhinestones, you got to go thrift.
You do. You really do.
Oh, I love that. Well, it sounds like that was a really fun show. And you're making me excited now for like all the concerts that I've bought tickets to this summer. So thank you for that inspiration.
Yeah.
So I'm curious to know, like, I know you're a big fan of Ally and AJ. I'm wondering if you have any, like, you know, if you could snap your fingers and any artist would collaborate with Ally and AJ or any mashup or duet you could think of, like, who is your like ideal collaboration artist to work with Ally and AJ?
That is a great question. Honestly, I think a really funny and funky collab could be Ally and AJ and then the Haim sisters. It would be like sisters on sisters. It'd be crazy.
Yeah, I love that.
So I think that could be fun. They remind me of each other. I also just always think it's so cool and special when it is like a sister group because one, working together is no small beans. And then on top of that, you guys are just like spending so much time together and you haven't gotten sick of each other and you make art together. That's pretty fucking cool. So
yeah.
I always think that's exciting, but I would also love to potentially see them with a male artist who would be doing some vocals. I think that could be kind of cool because they have a really unique sound, but I'd have to think of who, but I think that could be awesome as well because, you know, everything they sing is in a female voice.
Yeah. I really like your idea of the Haim sisters. A, because I'm obsessed with those girls.
Same.
B, because they're incredibly talented musicians. C, because they're all sisters. Like,
I know. It's like a triple threat.
Yeah, that would be amazing to see them on stage together. And I think the Haim sisters could bring like a more kind of edgy rock infused vibe to Allie and AJ.
Yes.
I would love to see, like, that would be a really cool blend of artists. I would love to see that. I was thinking about this and I had two artists that came to mind. So the first artist that comes to mind is one of my favorites, Maren Morris.
Okay.
I think she's incredible.
I see that.
And I love her because she's got a really strong, powerful voice. She's got, I think, a very strong kind of sense of self, and she's a really incredible songwriter. Mm-hmm. So I would love to see like what Maren Morris and Allie and AJ could do together. I think it would be kind of like an indie folk country song that they could put out. Another artist I thought of just now was Phoebe Bridgers.
Oh, and I can totally see that. Mm-hmm.
I think that would be cool because, again, Phoebe Bridgers is, I think, a little more mature sounding. She's more kind of not edgy, but a little more, she's not as sweet, saccharine pop as some of Allie and AJ songs have been in the past. So I think like Phoebe Bridgers would be, you know, a great songwriting partner. She's a great singer in her own right. And
absolutely.
I think she could maybe, I don't know, give them more of like a mature sound or something that's a little more kind of out there, a little more. I mean, Phoebe Bridgers, a lot of her work in my experience is a little darker. It's not as happy.
Right. Yeah.
So
no,
I
agree with that.
That could
definitely
be cool. Yeah.
And I can vouch for the fact that they also show up on all the same Spotify playlists. So that's how you know they'd be a good mix.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there's so many artists that I could think of that would be a good fit with Allie and AJ. Like, I mean, I could just honestly talk for hours about like what artists I would love to see them with, you know?
Yeah.
Even think about like, I don't know, like Kacey Musgraves or maybe even like.
Yeah, I could see that.
Yeah. There's just so much potential.
I mean, they used to do a little bit more, even some like almost country, or I guess it was like almost more like Christian rock, to be honest. Mm-hmm. they were definitely raised super Christian.
Yeah.
I could see like a Kacey Musgraves too. It's mm-hmm. interesting how their sound, they've had so many different sounds, right? Like they've definitely done like the super Disney pop star songs. And now they've definitely, like you said, it is a little bit more of that indie folk music. And so, they're versatile. We love to see it.
Love to see it. And personally, I love the indie folk path they're taking.
Me too.
After pop music, indie is my most listened to genre on Spotify. I'm a big indie fan and I love the indie folk rock genre they're moving into. It kind of reminds me, like, it's giving like First Aid Kit. It's giving like that kind of indie vibe. So I'm here for it. I think their music, their most recent record sounds great in a coffee shop. It's a great record to work to. It's a great record to just like chill out and drink a glass of wine to. It's
Absolutely.
More mature. It's more kind of, I think, meant for like their contemporaries and their peers. So it's cool to see them move from that Disney Channel, you know, cookie cutter kind of mold and kind of find their own voice, find their own way, find their new fan base, really, because I was never a fan of them, but now I am. And I'm like, damn, girls, you guys are out here killing it.
I'm
so glad I've discovered this album. I'm so glad that I, you know, have this song on my Spotify playlist. And so glad that we got to talk about it too. It's been great.
Same. I know. Well, and I'm excited that I could put you on to some music because I know that you are a big music listener. And so it's fun to talk about a band that I'm able to share with you, which is exciting.
Yes. And it's awesome. And that's like the power of music, right? Like it's like whenever I have a band that I'm obsessed with, I immediately send the link to all of my friends. Like, you have to listen to the song. I love it. I'm obsessed. And they send me a link back. And like, it's this wonderful cycle of like sharing music, sharing art, sharing like these beautiful songs that like literally are the soundtrack to my life, you know?
100%.
And for me, I've been on a really big Britney Spears kick recently. So
of course, how could you not be?
Because I love her so much, but it's shout out Britney and Sam. They just got married. So happy for them. But as much as I love Britney, it's so great to like find a new song and find a new band that I'm obsessed with. And it's just, for me, it's like, I don't know, it's like Christmas morning, you know, finding a new song that you really love. So
totally. Oh, I love that.
Yeah. So thank you for inspiring me to listen to more Ali and AJ.
My pleasure.
Awesome. Well, this has been such a great chat. You know, it's been so good for me to get back into podcasting, and this has been like a great way to like kick off my return or my homecoming to podcasting.
Yes. Homecoming. I love it.
Yes. Just like the Beyonce movie on Netflix, my homecoming to podcasting. So thank you again for joining me. And Sam, tell us about your podcast and tell us what you're up to and how can we find you?
Of course. Well, yes, thank you for having me. I always love coming on the Fangirl Pod. It's one of my faves. But yes, I am a fellow podcaster as well. I have a podcast called Pessimistic at Best, and it is a podcast for complainers by complainers. I call it my bitchy little podcast. And it is really just a podcast where we talk about anything and everything. We can complain about stuff. We just work through the new seasons of life that we're going through. And it can be big and small, right? Like it can be anything from complaining about how dry my skin gets in winter to complaining about Roe v. Wade being overturned, right? So there's we're tackling all the issues. Definitely come check me out. You can find me on any streaming platform, and then the handle on all socials is just at Pessimistic at Best.
Awesome. Nice. Well, definitely have lots of complaints regarding the Roe v. Wade decision. So I'm happy to air those grievances with you anytime. And
heck yes. We got to get you back on the pod. That's what we
got
to do.
I know. We've got so much complaining to catch up on. I could complain about, you know, the current state of affairs or just like how difficult it was to get my AC unit into my window, all of those things.
100%. Oh my God, that's so good. I'm about to deal with that same thing once I move. So.
Oh yeah. Well, we can complain about moving once you're done moving, because moving is a huge pain.
It is a huge pain. Not looking forward to it, but I am excited for the switch up.
Yes. And you're moving to Chicago, right?
Yes. Yeah. From Madison to Chicago in just a couple months. So it's kind of sneaking up on me, but it'll be good. I think we're ready for a change of pace. So
yes, Chicago's a great city. A lot of great podcasters there, a lot of great music there. Mm-hmm. Yes. I'm sure you guys you'll find your footing very quickly while you're there. Yes. Awesome. Nice. Well, thank you so much for joining us on the Fangirl Podcast. Thank you everyone for listening. You can find us on Instagram at the Fangirl Podcast, and thanks again. And we'll see you next time. Thanks. Bye, Sam.